do we understand angels? You know, one Christian writer called them personal spiritual beings who have intelligence, emotions, and will. The Dictionary of Christian Theology sees them as, quote, supernatural celestial beings of pure spirit who are superior to humans in power, goodness, beauty, intelligence, and abilities, and serve God in many capacities. The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible claims that angels are, quote, quite real, and they play a vital part in God's plan for the world. There's no question I don't believe, because I believe that all of us believe in angels. The question is, though, do we understand angels and what they mean to saved mankind? We are introduced to angels early in Scripture. Many of us remember the stories. Upon being expelled from the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were denied entrance back into this place as a cherubim blocked the entrance with a flaming sword. We see that in Genesis 3, verse 24. Approximately 1,900 years later, we fast forward and we find in Genesis 16, verse 7, the angel of the Lord, perhaps a theophany of the pre-incarnate Christ, visiting with Hagar. Genesis 18, verse 2, Abraham and Sarah were greeted by three men, one presumed to be God or the pre-incarnate Christ, and two angels. Lot was greeted by these same two angels in Genesis 19, 1 through 11. Jacob saw many angels, as documented in Genesis 32, verse 1. Mary, Paul, and John had New Testament angel encounters as well. Interestingly enough, when God addressed Job in Job 38, 6, he told Job in the form of a question that angels were present with God during the earth's creation. In fact, Psalm 148, 2 tells us that angels are God's creation. 273 times in 34 books of the Bible, angels are mentioned. So why did he create them? And how does this apply to all of us? If we look at our sermon text today, and we're going to do this in segments. Well, we rarely do this. But we're going to break it down in segments. We will actually see their importance, and we're going to see their correlation and the relationship that they have with Jesus. So let's start with Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. Long ago, God spoke in many different ways to our fathers through the prophets and visions and dreams and even face-to-face, telling them little by little about his plans. But now in these days, he has spoken to us through his Son, to whom he has given everything, and through whom he made the world and everything there is. God's Son shines out with God's glory, and all that God's Son is and does marks him as God. He regulates the universe by the mighty power of his command. He is the one who died to cleanse us and clear our record of all sin, and then sat down in highest honor beside the great God of heaven. In this passage, in these three verses, we see the importance of Jesus. The Jewish people held angels in high regard. In fact, it has been suggested that the Jews reasoned that if they actually chose to become Christians, they would lose the ministry of the angels and the full power that they believed was available through them. In 2 Peter 2:11, Peter recognizes that angelic power. In fact, he uses words power and strength to describe angels. Now, while their place and their power above mankind is not in question, the place in which mankind puts them probably is. New age movements, old age movements, even some Christians have been known to worship and idolize angels over Jesus. This can't be right. Psalm 8, verse 5, Hebrews 2, verse 7 makes it clear that angels are higher in rank than man, but they will never rank higher than the Messiah. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3 shows us this. These verses show us the power and the glory that is possessed and that is due to Jesus. Let's look at verses 4 through 6 of Hebrews 1. It says, thus, he being Jesus, he became far greater than the angels, as proved by the fact that his name, Son of God, which was passed on to him from his Father, is far greater than the names and the titles of the angels. For God never said to any angel, you are my son, and today I've given you the honor that goes with that name. But God said it about Jesus. Another time he said, I am his Father, and he is my son. And still another time, when his firstborn son came to earth, God said, let all the angels of God worship him. Jesus is greater than angels. Jesus deserves our worship. Jesus has rank and dominion and authority over angels. And this passage helps us to establish the rank and the authority and the dominion in God's kingdom of Jesus Christ. Pastor Earl Davis once said this. He says, we see that God chose to become a man, a little weaker, a little lower than the angels, to do something angels could not do, redeem mankind, end quote. The angels can show us the weakness of man and the sovereignty and the power of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Hebrews 1, verses 7 through 14. It says, God speaks of his angels as messengers swift as the wind, and his servants made of flaming fire. But of his son, he says, your kingdom, O God, will last forever and ever. Its commands are always just and right. You love right and hate wrong. So God, even your God, has poured out more gladness upon you than on anyone else. God also called him Lord when he said, Lord, in the beginning you made the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will disappear into nothingness, but you will remain forever. They will become worn out like old clothes. And someday you'll fold them up and replace them, but you yourself will never change, and your years will never end. Did God ever say to an angel, as he does to his son, sit here beside me in honor until I crush all of your enemies beneath your feet? No, for the angels are only spirit messengers sent out to help and care for those who are to receive his salvation. Incredibly important words. You see, verses 7 and 14 of this passage helps us to understand the role that angels play in our lives. They are servants. They are messengers. They are caregivers to believers. And I got to think that today you can at least be a little bit more strengthened knowing that you have angels that are caregivers that are dedicated to your care and your well-being. This is a gift that comes from God. It is the purpose of the angels that we can see because of God. They told Abraham and Sarah about a forthcoming son, Genesis 18, verse 10. They warned Lot of impending doom, Genesis 19, verse 12. They told Mary and Joseph about the birth of Jesus. We see that in the Gospels. They delivered Peter from prison, Acts 12, 6 through 11. They saved Paul from death, Acts 27, 23. They gave John much of our book of Revelation. Now, here's what's interesting about that. Every single one of these people that are mentioned, every one of them that are listed, all with angel encounters, all of them are saved or were saved. All of them were believers in Jesus Christ. All of them followers of God Almighty. All of them received the gift that God could give them through those angels. Angels praise God. Angels worship God. Angels serve God. They rejoice when one sinner repents before God. They bring people to Jesus, Acts 8, 26. They know the power and the glory of Jesus. And this helps us, this passage helps us to see the dominion and the authority and the power that should be given to Jesus. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, 20 and 21, he says, bless the Lord, you mighty angels of his who carry out his orders, listening to each of his commands. Yes, bless the Lord, you armies of his angels who serve him constantly. We praise God today that he has given angels to care for us and to show us the power and the dominion and the authority of Jesus. A footnote in the Living Bible says this, God's holy angels guard and protect believers and do them more good than they are ever aware of. Thanksgiving should be praised to God for these angels who minister to the saints. And folks, whether we know it or not, angels minister to us. The people who are believers, who live for and love and accept Jesus. Here's an example. Three guys were fishing in a lake one day when an angel suddenly appeared in the boat. When the three astonished men had settled down enough to speak, the first guy asked the angel humbly, I've suffered from back pain ever since I took shrapnel in the Vietnam War. Could you help me? Of course, the angel said. And when he touched the man's back, the man felt relief for the first time in years. The second guy wore very thick eyeglasses and had a hard time reading and driving. He asked the angel if he could do anything about his poor eyesight. The angel just smiled, slowly removed the man's glasses, and tossed them into the lake. When the eyeglasses hit the water, the man's eyes cleared, and he could see everything distinctly. When the angel turned to the third guy stood up and said, "Don't touch me. I'm on a disability pension." All right, so here's our point. Angels can do a lot of things, even those people that have pensions. There you go. Angels care about God, and they definitely care for God's children, and they especially care for little children. In fact, if we read Matthew 18:10, Jesus says, "For I tell you in heaven," there being the little children, he says, "For I tell you in heaven, little children's angels have constant access to my Father." Now, as a parent of two growing bigger girls, I can tell you that this gives me comfort as a believer to know that my Heavenly Father cares for my children. I'm not always going to be there with my children. I won't always be there for my children, but I know that God is there with my children, and He has sent angels to care for my children. Let me give you a story. Lloyd Glenn shares this story. He says, "On July 22nd, I was en route to Washington, D.C. for a business trip. It was all so very ordinary until we landed in Denver for a plane change. As I collected my belongings from the overhead bin, an announcement was made for Mr. Lloyd Glenn to see the United Customer Service representative immediately. I thought nothing of it until I reached the door to leave the plane, and I heard a gentleman asking every male if they were Mr. Glenn. At this point, I knew something was wrong, and my heart sunk. When I got off the plane, a solemn-faced young man came toward me and said, 'Mr. Glenn, there's an emergency at your home. I do not know what the emergency is or who is involved, but I will take you to a phone so you can call the hospital.' My heart was now pounding, but the will to be calm took over. Woodenly, I followed the stranger to the distant telephone where I called the number he gave me for the Mission Hospital. My call was put through to the trauma center where I learned that my 3-year-old son had been trapped underneath the automatic garage door for several minutes, and that when my wife had found him, he was dead. CPR had been performed by a neighbor who is a doctor, and the paramedics had continued the treatment as little Brian was transported to the hospital. By the time of my call, Brian was revived. They believed that he would live, but they did not know how much damage had been done to his brain nor to his heart. They explained that the door had completely closed on his little sternum right over his heart. He had been severely crushed. After speaking with the medical staff, my wife sounded worried but not hysterical, and I took comfort in her calmness. The return flight seemed to last forever, but finally I arrived at the hospital 6 hours after the garage door had come down. When I walked in the intensive care unit, nothing could have prepared me to see my little son laying so still on a great big bed with tubes and monitors everywhere. He was on a respirator. I glanced at my wife, who stood and tried to give me a reassuring smile. It all seemed like a terrible dream. I was filled in with the details and given a guarded prognosis. Brian was going to live, and the preliminary tests indicated that his heart was okay. Two miracles in one and of themselves. But only time would tell if his brain received any damage. Throughout the seemingly endless hours, my wife was calm. She felt that Brian would eventually be all right. I hung on to her words and faith like a lifeline. All that night and the next day, Brian remained unconscious. It seemed like forever since I left for my business trip just the day before. By the next day, he was pronounced as having no neurological or physical defects, and the story of his miraculous survival spread throughout the hospital. You cannot imagine how we felt as we took our Brian home. We felt a unique reverence for the life and love of our Heavenly Father that comes to those who brush death so closely. In the days that followed, there was a special spirit about our home. Our two older children were much closer to their little brother. My wife and I were much closer to each other, and all of us were very close as a whole family. Life took on a less stressful pace. Perspective seemed to be more focused and balanced, much easier to gain and maintain. We felt deeply blessed. Our gratitude was truly profound. But the story is not over. Almost a month later, to the day of the accident, Brian awoke from his afternoon nap and said, "Sit down, Mommy. I have something to tell you." At this time in his life, Brian usually spoke in small phrases, so to say a large sentence surprised my wife. She sat down with him on his bed, and he began his sacred and remarkable story. "Do you remember when I got stuck under the garage door?" Brian asked. "Well, it was so heavy and it hurt really bad, and I called you, but you couldn't hear me. I started to cry, but then it hurt too bad. And then the birdies came. The birdies? My wife asked, puzzled. Yeah, the birdies made a whooshing sound and flew into the garage, and they took care of me.
They did?
Yes, Brian said. One of the birdies came and got you. She came to tell you that I got stuck under the door. A sweet, reverent feeling filled the room. The spirit was so strong and yet lighter than air, my wife realized that a three-year-old had no concept of death and spirits, and so he was referring to the beings who came to him from beyond as birdies because they were up in the air like birds that fly. What did the birdies look like? She asked. They were so beautiful. They were dressed in white, all white. Some of them had green and white, but some of them had on just white. Did they say anything? Yes, they told me the baby would be all right. The baby? My wife asked, confused. Brian answered, the baby laying on the garage floor. He went on, you came out and opened the garage door and ran to the baby. You told the baby to stay and not leave. My wife nearly collapsed upon hearing this, for she had indeed gone and knelt beside Brian's body, and seeing his crushed chest, she whispered, don't leave us, Brian. Please stay if you can. As she listened to Brian telling her the words she had spoken, she realized that the spirit had left his body, was looking down from above on this little lifeless form. Then what happened, she asked. We went on a trip, far, far away. He grew agitated, trying to say the things he didn't seem to have the words for. My wife tried to calm and comfort him and let him know that it would be okay. He struggled with wanting to tell something that obviously was very important to him, but finding the words was difficult. We flew so fast in the air, Mommy. They're so pretty. And there were lots and lots of birdies. My wife was stunned. Into her mind, the sweet, comforting spirit enveloped her more soundly, but with an urgency she had never known. Brian went on to tell her that the birdies had told him that he had to come back and tell everyone about the birdies. He said they brought him back to the house, that a big fire truck and an ambulance were there. A man was bringing the baby out on a white bed, and he tried to tell the man that the baby would be okay, but the man couldn't hear him. He said the birdies told him he had to go with the ambulance, but they would be near him. He said they were so pretty and peaceful, and he didn't want to come back. Then the bright light came. He said the light was so bright and so warm, and he loved the bright light so much. Someone was in the bright light and put their arms around him and told him, I love you, but you have to go back. You have to play baseball, and you have to tell everyone about the birdies. Then the person in the bright light kissed him and waved goodbye. Then whoosh, the big sound came, and they went into the clouds. The story went on for an hour. He taught us that birdies were always with us, but we don't see them because we look with our eyes, and we don't hear them because we listen with our ears. But they're always there. You can see them in here. And at that point, he put his hand over his heart. They whisper the things to help us do what is right because they love us so much. Brian continued, stating, I have a plan, Mommy. You have a plan. Daddy has a plan. Everyone has a plan. We must all live our plan and keep our promises. The birdies help us to do that because they love us so much. In the weeks that followed, he often came to us and told all or part of that story again and again. Always the story remained the same. The details were never changed or out of order. A few times he added further bits of information and clarified the message that he had already delivered. Never ceased to amaze us how he could tell such detail and speak beyond his ability when he talked about his birdies. Everywhere he went, he told strangers about the birdies. And surprisingly, no one ever looked at him strangely when he did this. Rather, they always got a softened look on their face and smiled. Needless to say, we have not been the same ever since that day. And Glenn says, and I pray that we never will be. End quote. It's a long story with a powerful message. You see, today, many of you might be sitting there saying, can't be real. Can't be real. The way that's real. It's too crazy. It's too unrealistic. Yet we believe in angels. We know they're real because God tells us they're real. We know they're real because God's word tells us they're real, but we also know that they have a purpose. And today, for those of you who have children, I pray that you will get comfort from this. There's other truths that become known. We don't become angels after death, but it is evident that God's angels can love us and care for us, and protect us before death. You see, God's angels not only protect us, but they promote Jesus. Look at Hebrews 2, 1 through 5. So we must listen very carefully to the truths that we have heard, or we may drift away from them. For since the messages from angels have always proved true, and people have always been punished for disobeying them, what makes us think we can escape if we are indifferent to this great salvation announced by the Lord Jesus himself and passed on to us by those who heard him speak? God always has shown us that these messages are true by signs and wonders and various miracles and by giving certain special abilities from the Holy Spirit to those who believe. Yes, God has assigned such gifts to each of us. And the future world we are talking about will not be controlled by angels. Now, there's a common theme that's prevalent among these last five verses. The messages that the angels have brought man and the truth and the consistency that reveal God's plan. We see that throughout Scripture. In essence, the angels' messages, perhaps and seemingly impossible and improbable, are real. Why are they real? How are they real? How do we know they're real? Let me tell you how we know. 1 John 4:8, it's because God is love. Psalm 86:11, it's because God is truth. 1 Corinthians 8:6, it's because God is himself real. Look at verse 4. God has always shown us that these messages are true. Folks, today we share this sermon, we read these words, and our faith is strengthened because today we realize that in God's holy kingdom, he is real, Jesus is real, the angels are real, his word is real, the message of salvation is real, and our faith should be stirred because of the reality of who Jesus Christ is and how much he cares about all of us. This is reality. Our gifts, God's miracles, and the angels' messages point toward our Messiah's purpose, which is to live in heaven with us. Look at verse 3. What makes us think we can escape if we are indifferent to this great salvation announced to us by the Lord Jesus himself? Folks, this is never easy. Understanding this isn't easy. Grasping this isn't easy. You'll hear this story and you may think, I can't believe it. It can't be that easy. But here's the irony. It's never easy because Satan himself, a fallen angel, Isaiah 14:12-17, Ezekiel 28:11-19, and his host of fallen angels, we know them as demons, Jude 1:6, are always attempting to discredit Christ and disrupt our lives and destroy our faith and make this and everything else improbable and unreal. Now, isn't that ironic that Satan himself, a fallen angel, is trying to discredit everything in God's kingdom, including his son and those angels? The irony is too amazing to even imagine. And yet today we understand what Satan can do. Because Satan and his demons, they don't protect us. They don't promote Jesus. They don't care about us. They want to destroy us, and they want to destroy the faith that should be inside all of us. This was seen clearly in the book of Revelation, where angels who are sent by God to reveal the horrible future of those who renounce Jesus as Savior. Folks, Revelation. A lot of angels appear in Revelation. Revelation and the events that are forthcoming are real. Look at verse 5. The future we are talking about will not be controlled by angels. Rather, it will be controlled and it will be won by our Lord and Savior. This we take with us today. Angels care for us. Angels promote Jesus. Look at Revelation 22:6-9. It's a powerful passage. Then the angel said to me being John, then the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. I am coming soon. God, who tells his prophets what the future holds, has sent his angel to tell you this will happen soon. Listen to this verse. Blessed are those who believe it and all else written in the scroll. I, John, saw and heard all these things and fell down to worship the angel who showed them to me. But again, the angel said, no, don't do anything like that. I, too, am a servant of Jesus as you are and as your brothers, the prophets, are, as well as all those who heed the truth stated in this book. I love this last line. Worship God alone. Angels aren't supposed to be worshipped, but God is, and Jesus is. And this is the culmination of angelic care and visits and messages that should strengthen our faith today. There are times, folks, there are times in our lives when our faith needs to be enlivened, rekindled, brought out. Today is that day. Today is the day in which we get to see the reality of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, His authority, His dominion, and God's kingdom. Today we get to see the reality of God Almighty. Today we get to see the reality of the angels who are in His kingdom and how they care for us and protect us and provide for us. Today we get to see the reality of people, God's people, who have faith and trust in Jesus, who live by His word, a word that guides and directs all of us. We believe in angels. We acknowledge their superiority over mankind, and we are grateful to God that they care for us, that they minister us, that they guard us, that they protect us, that they guide us. But they are not and never will be greater than Jesus. We do not become angels when we go to see Jesus. We might just see angels when we go see Jesus. Revelation 22:9, the angel said, "I too am a servant of Jesus." Are you? Am I? Are we? Do we, like God's angels, care for and minister to and share God's word with others? Do we, like angels, promote Jesus? This is the purpose of this sermon today. To understand rank, authority, position, and dominion among God's heavenly kingdom. It is to understand purpose and promotion and worship, and to understand what understanding angels is all about and how they function as they move about and what they do for God when we're all about God. An angel's obedience and willingness to fulfill God's purpose reminds us each and every day why, to this point, we have been protected by and ministered to and cared for and guided and blessed and directed. Our sovereign leader and Savior is Jesus. And it is to Him we give our worship. It is because of Him that we give up this world. And it is our love in Him and our trust in Him that teaches us to live by His word. Praise God today for the angels throughout Scripture that help us to understand and undertake this. Jesus deserves our worship. Angels help us to see this. 21 years of ministry, I preached on this topic one time. Today is number two. And the reason I'm doing this is because I think today our faith needs to be enlivened. I think we need to understand what happens in God's kingdom. I think we have to understand the purpose of God Almighty and His Son Jesus. And I think we have to understand what we are called to do while we are on this earth. And it is not to worship angels. It's not to exalt angels. But it is to worship and love and serve our Savior Jesus. Let's stand and close with a song that is my wife's probably favorite song on the radio right now. In fact, I'm surprised Cam won't be up here leading music. Nope, she's running away. She's not going to do that. Nope, not doing that. Well, folks, this is a sermon that has been around for some time, and it's just been given today, and I am thrilled to be able to give it. I hope it strengthens your faith. I know as a father it strengthens mine. I often wonder what's going to happen when my girls are not with me, and I love that they are protected by God at all times, and I take that with me today. My faith is strengthened by this, and I am grateful for it. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your ministry. We thank You for the angels that You send us to guard us and guide us and protect us. But they'll never be greater than Jesus. This is who we worship today. This is why we worship today, is because of Jesus. And I pray today that our faith would be strengthened. I pray that it would be profound. And I pray that we will promote Jesus in all that we say and do. We believe. That is why we leave this church today, to show others just how much we believe and that they can believe too. Go with us and keep us safe. We pray today. Watch over us in all that we do and make our ministry happen before millions. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.